You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the internet.
And I am back. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here. And first things first, I'd like to give a big hearty thanks to the guys at coldheartslag.com for filling in for the last 2 weeks. Thanks to Heath for hosting and putting the show together, and JD for the reviews, and to Tim for his nifty not beat fanfic. They brought something to RSC that's been missing for a while. Variety. And I have a bunch of stuff I need to go over before we get into the show this week, and we'll start that now. You'll notice that there is now a Radio Free Cybertron forum at the AllSpark. Go there, converse, talk. Maybe it'll get more traffic than the Goldamus.net forum, which is still there, but I was basically getting no traffic at all. And of course, being that I've had no free time to start any discussion, you know, anything without me is doomed to failure. And I'm joking. But the Goldamus.net forum is still there. Hopefully, we'll probably use that for Transformers discussion or something. You know, I'd like to keep it to appease Goldie, because Goldie's just such a wonderful guy. But chances are that the AllSpark forum will get much more traffic. Also, on the site, we have a new poll. Goody. Is Robots in Disguise the return of the classic Transformers, i.e. G1? That's their vote. Let your opinion be known with the world. And you can discuss that in the AllSpark forum, which there is a link at the top of our homepage at tfradio.net. Okay, also, BotCon is looming forth. It is now less than a month away. John DeLuna and I shall be at BotCon, yes. But like usual, I have no idea what to do. I, personally, will only be there Saturday. And hopefully for the whole day, but, you know, nothing's for certain because, like I said, my father has cancer and my mother is sick, and we'll have to get someone to stay at home with them while, because, you know, hospice requires that my dad have a family member with him at all times. But hopefully we can work something out. And we will definitely have BotCon news and summaries on RFC. But at BotCon, I'd like to get together and meet some of the listeners. I should be, not definitely, but I should be wearing an RFC t-shirt. So if you see me, say hello. Also, there is a poll at Rhino asking what you think should be the first line they release, Beast Wars or Beast Machines. There's a link to that in the news section. Also, according to Mace Sucks Big, I love that name, on AltToys Transformers, Metroplex possibly is going to be the big chase figure slash extra pack-in for Act 4 of the PVCs. And that's only if they adhere to what they did with Fort Max in Act 3. And if you ask why they do that, you know, Metroplex is big, like Fort Max, and my friends argue that Metroplex is bigger, and in the comic he is definitely bigger, and in the show, evidence leans towards that he is bigger, but as far as the price points of the toy goes, Fort Max is much bigger. But, you know, who knows. The computer got an email last week regarding Rob Cypher on ATT. And being that the computer is on vacation, I think I can answer this for him. Regarding Rob Cypher on ATT, ignore him, period. He's a troll. He is not even a good troll, like TFG1 Forever, or even Big Daddy Zeus. You know, Big Daddy Zeus was at least fun. He actually took time to respond to people. Rob Cypher is an idiot. Oh, and I also got a plug request from Foldit. He wanted Transformers Network. He wanted me to mention that. That's TransformersNetwork.com, one word. Go there, they have Kingpin skins and Winamp skins and AOL Instant Messenger icons, which I actually used one, which, you know, they have a message board. They're the site that had that petition. Make of that what you will. But it's, you know, they have some neat stuff. They have some nice 3D renders. I like that. Also, they have episodes for download. That's always a plus. And, you know, that's it. On to the show. This week we have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna. We have the AllSpark Buzz by Prime Z. Yes, you heard me right. The AllSpark Buzz. Finally. We've been, like, wanting that forever now. And also, we have a review of Cybertronian, the Unofficial Transformers Recognition Guide, Volume 1. And, of course, to anyone who bought that, you know, there's a nice little link, well, not link, plug, mention, reference to Radio Free Cybertron in the website's index. We love you, Doug Glenn. And if you want it, there is a link in the news section on the homepage at tfradio.net to buy it at Antarctic Press using PayPal. I did it, and it was quick. It's a good book, but I don't want to ruin the review. So now we'll just start things off with the ATT Buzz and John DeLuna.
I've never seen anything this beautiful in the entire galaxy. All right, give me the bomb.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and it's been a while, guys, since I talked to you. About 3 weeks. That'd normally be a long time if news was breaking on the Transformer front, but it's not, and that's probably why I haven't been in a rush to get back. But now, I'm off vacation. I'm back doing this steady little gig, at least until BiteCon, with me and Kilby. Be working on something, I guess, for BotCon, since we're both going to be there. Now, as far as the news goes, like I said, the Dead Zone is stretching, and there hasn't been much news as far as Transformer stuff, new toys. Blast Punch Primal is still pretty scarce, and I don't think he's going to get any easier to find. In fact, I think he's going to be a lot like Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia, maybe worse, maybe even more limited. Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia seemed really limited, and she was until, I'd say 3 or 4 months after the fact, cases of her started popping up as people cleaned out their warehouses. That may happen with Blast Punch Primal, but I doubt it. I don't think he's been made in quite the quantities even Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia was, because, in part, Figures.com says Robots in Disguise has started shipping. It's on the trucks, baby. It's coming out in a few weeks. You should find the stuff on the shelves. And Joel from Big Bad Toy Store, probably the best pound-for-pound Transformer dealer, toy dealer on the internet, has said that he's going to get his shipment in 3 weeks, so that makes sense, too. That all jives. And what that means is not only do we get rehashes of car robots in mediocre to ugly packaging, it also spells doom, I think. I say it does. For Megabolt, Megatron, and, Supreme Optimus Primal. Although we already knew Big Boss Monkey was dead in the water months ago, really. When Hasbro says they're thinking about releasing a toy, it's over. I mean, kiss it goodbye. People don't think about issues like that. Huge multi-million dollar toy companies don't think about releasing toys. They do. They either do or they don't. When they say they're waffling or vacillating over the issue, it's over. They've already made up their mind. It ain't coming out. And I don't see how Megabolt Megatron could make it. For one thing, so close to the Robots in Disguise rollout, or at least the quote-unquote summer preview of the toys, the first shipment of the basics and the deluxes, we haven't seen anything of Megabolt besides the first picks and examples of the toy from Toy Fair, and those were rough. We haven't seen on eBay a finished carded product like we saw with Battle Unicron or Blast Punch Primal. We've only gotten the first few scraps of the toy mold. That was from Toy Fair. That was months ago. We haven't heard any word on him ever since. The only thing that's happened as far as Beast Machine since then has been a trickling of Battle Unicron, Unicorn, and a Blast Punch Primal, and of course, Supreme Primal dying a agonizing death. And I think Megabolt Megatron is going the same route, which is sad because those two toys looked like, so to speak, the Tigerhawk and Dragon Megatron of Beast Wars as far as Beast Machines goes. Transformer lines have a nice pattern of going out with a bang as the designers really get into the groove of whatever line they're doing at the time. And Supreme Primal looked great. I mean, he looked 1,000 times, and this is just from pictures, he looked 1,000 times better than Supreme Cheetor, if only for the mold and the fundamental design of the toy. It opened itself to gimmicks, to more playability, it's a more interesting design. It just looked fun. It looked awesome, frankly. And Megabolt Megatron, much in the same way. He looked like a great toy. Wacky, a giant head with spider legs, and a great Megatron robot. Not a deluxe size Dragon Megatron with a cape. He was a totally unique Megatron with a butt. The kind of character that was Beast Machines based. He was Beast Machines Megatron, not Beast Wars Megatron rehashed. Totally original character. Very nice, and something we'll never see. Oh, and while we're on the topic of those two, Megabolt and Supreme Primal, you know, Botcon's got an auction. And, well, I wouldn't be surprised if either one, if not both of those guys in some form, those two molds show up as test shots. Maybe something a little further along in development show up on the auction block. And frankly, that's scary because, well, take for example last year, Optimal Optimus went for $625-ish, if I recall correctly. That's a toy that 6 months later was going for $20 online. And at BotCon, he went for $625. I don't care what that auction was for, if it was for monks in Tibet or crippled kids. You know, I mean, it's a noble cause, I'm sure, the charity, but, jeez, that's sick. That's crazy. And I think Supreme, especially, would put last year to shame. I mean, I could see that thing going, depending on what it is, how far along the toy would be in its design evolution, could go easily over $607, maybe $800. Megabolt, I could see him going for $200, easy, maybe $300. This is a deluxe toy, mind you, but it's a big name. It's a famous toy, famous alt mode. Actually, the giant head is more famous than the pretty awesome-looking admittedly robot mode, but there are plenty of crazy people at BotCon, that goes without saying, but those crazy people have serious money to burn, and they're going to burn it on those two. Also, on ATT, back on topic, so to speak, Blue Megatron is in the news again, at least for ATT. This won't die, folks. The fact that people keep bringing this up, and the fact that people can't believe he exists. Personally, I don't care either way. I mean, I don't think Blue Megatron, Dragon Megatron, Transmetal 2, Dragon Megatron, repainted blue, is a hoax. I don't care if it is or if it or it isn't, but I seriously doubt somebody would go to all that trouble to kid bash a toy to sell it as an official repaint or whatever. It's a freak. Either it's a test shot or what I think it was just a scrapped mass release repaint. Maybe some kind of internal Hasbro thing for executives or whatever, although that's just as far-fetched to me as anything else. I just think it was a scrapped idea that ended prematurely, just like, you know, most things do at the end of a certain toy's run. Also, they brought up Red Geckobot, Blue Optimus Minor. I've never seen Blue Optimus Minor, but not that I wanna. but I've never seen it. It'd be kind of interesting. Red Gekobot looked great, I thought. I kind of wouldn't mind a few repaints of Beast Machines. I like repaints, even if they aren't of particular toys I like. I don't like Gekobot. That toy's in serious need of highlights. Almost as bad as Tigerhawk. It's a mediocre toy at best, but with some highlights, it'd be a really good toy because the mold's got tons of detail that you can't see because it's all one color. I don't care if it's a basic or not. I mean, just look at some of the Beast Machine basics other than him. Look at Tankdrome. That's a basic. It's got tons of color and highlights, and it only uses, what, four colors? Gekobot's got all his colors in his wings, and his body is green. That's it. I mean, he's Kermit the Frog on crack with wings on his forearms. Pretty disappointing, but the red Gekobot looks really good because the red complements his wings, and it's nice. It's a nice toy. Anyway, back on topic, back to the blue Megatron. People don't believe it exists, and frankly, they never will. There's no amount of convincing. Even if one popped up at BotCon in the hands of a Hasbro executive, are they going to believe that it's ever real? There are plenty of people on the internet like this. No matter what you throw in their face, be it a picture, a recording, videotape, naked photos, whatever, they're not going to believe it because they're skeptics. And actually, you know, in this time, day and age of digital screwballing and whitewashing and pixelating and whatnot, enhancements, quote-unquote, you can't blame them, really, but please, guys, I mean, give it a rest, you know? Is it a 3H red herring? No, I seriously doubt it. Nobody's going to go to that much trouble, although even with Cataclysm last year, that was kind of nifty, but that was more than anything from what I can tell. That just fell into place because it had to. Fox Transmetal recolored Transmetal Cheetor kind of blew up in their face. He looks close enough to Cataclysm to kind of defeat the purpose. Cataclysm itself was going to be an obvious and really kind of boring anticlimactic recolor if he was going to turn out to be what he was, and there's no way he was going to be anything but. And Ape Link was a great surprise. It's one of those magic moments that you just really can't duplicate. So I really doubt any of these random repaints are red herrings. They're just freaks. Deal with them. Now, to wrap up the buzz this week, it appears that there's a good movement, strong movement, all things considering, relative to most things that happen on ACT and in the Transformer community, to get a Toy Fair Transformer exclusive. And gotta tell you, this movement that was started pretty much just on the off idea of Trent Troop, who's a good trans fan, good guy, nice guy, I consider him a friend, nice guy, stand-up guy. But this idea, I don't know, guys. Mainly, I don't mind an idea of an exclusive. They're kind of nice. Like I've said before, I like repaints. They're kind of neat. And I like limited edition toys that aren't too hard or in low production or what have you. And Toy Fair exclusives are easy to get. They're usually about $12 on average. You just send in the form. All it costs you extra is the magazine to get the form. But that's my problem. It's associated with Toy Fair, and I'd have to buy the magazine to send in the form. And for the four or five of you out there who aren't familiar with Toy Fair, well, in a nutshell, it's not the highest brow rag on the market. It's a toy magazine, obviously, about toys, written by seemingly a ace team of 30-somethings who probably weigh around 250 pounds, slept in their dorm room of the college they went to for 7 years to major in the major of the day, probably sleep and live with their parents in their house, living off them, like potty humor, like women with big cleavage, like Cinemax After Dark, and hate anything that's not G1, He-Man, or Todd McFarlane. Obviously, these are brilliant minds at work, and they would do us proud. Or not. Actually, the great irony of all this is that if a Toy Fair exclusive were to happen anytime now, till, say, oh, the end of the year, it would probably have to be a Beast Machines mold, something that Toy Fair hates. Oh, baby, do they hate that. You should have seen them bust a nut over car robots and just the very idea of robots in disguise. Optimus Prime as a fire truck, cars, prowl. Goodness me, oh my, they were going crazy. In fact, when Robots in Disguise was announced, they had a full Transformer spread. They had a removable insert, a mini magazine about old school Transformers. Hey, they even featured in their great, and we all know how we love price guides, their great price guide. They even basically highlighted, circled, and had a fireworks show for the Transformers section, one issue. That's great after ignoring Transformers for what? 5-6 years, ever since the word beast slipped in there, even though the Beast Wars, Machines, G2, all that, even the Machine Wars, all that era that they've basically ignored up until now, produced some of the finest toys of any toy line ever? No. They can't give credit to that, because that's not G1, baby. That's not good old school. Fall apart in my hands, Prowl. Why did you burst when I looked at you the wrong way? Devastator imploding when you look at him wrong. Goodness me, oh my. Where did Ramjet's landing gear go? None of that stuff is evident in Beast Wars. I mean, what were the designers thinking? Cheetor's accessories all store in the robot and beast mode. I mean, I can't lose accessories with this toy. That's madness. That's crazy. It's streamlined. It's a sleek design. It's not big and ungainly. It's not Weird Wolf, you know? I mean, that guy is nasty, ugly, blocky, impossible to play with. He's indestructible, yes, but you know what? Monster pretenders deteriorate inside their packaging. Their beast shells, their pretender shells, turn to cream corn in sealed cards. Now, I don't think Beast Wars and Beast Machines toys are going to fall apart and implode on the card, like lots of the later G1 stuff seems to be doing lately. And frankly, that's scary, because that's the era that I'm personally starting to focus on. Pretenders, Action Masters, very, very, very late G1, and the soft plastic in those toys sucks. I hope 10 years from now, my Transmetal 2 Dinobot's tail isn't a puddle of plastic, but I seriously doubt that. Anyway, that's the ATT buzz, and next week I will go into more detail about Transformer toys falling apart on us, because it's going to happen. You know, I mean, no matter how good a shape we keep G1 stuff in, it appears that, ironically, some of the later and hence youngest G1 stuff we've got is starting to fall apart, and it's totally out of our control. So, until next week, that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
Transformation!
Get transformation!
The aerial bots are taking their shot! Flippable plastic chromaticons! They can all change to be rearranged! To form a super robot, Superion! Cause the Batacons are roaring! Onslaught is roaring! Here's one metamorph in Durgan! They all combine and kick Superion behind as a big bad battle in Bruticus!
That was brutal!
No! That was Bruticus!
Transformer Generation 2 aerial bots and chromaticons each sold separately.
And thank you, John. And, yes, BotCon, I have no idea what we'll do. I'll probably go around getting the convention goers' opinion on stuff and the reactions, and I may run around naked. Well, maybe not. Okay. Now on to the AllSpark Buzz with Prime Z.
Thank you, Brian Kilby, and the Radio Free Cybertron crew for making this possible. This is Prime C of the AllSpark with the first weekly segment of AllSpark Buzz. Transformers Underground, Dave Van Damme's Transformer page, Radio Free Cybertron, Super Clear Cybertron, WildRun.com, the Protoform Project, all of these sites have joined the AllSpark Cybertronian Alliance. Please go check out their forums and awesome sites. We wish to thank our friends Megatron Classic, Windraiser, Dave Van Dumlin, Brian Kilby, Venge, Vicegrip, Neil Davidson, and everybody else who has helped us put together this incredible project. You can find their individual forums at the AllSpark main index, which is accessible through www.theallspark.com. And now, for more AllSpark happenings and news, first, Transfan Trentulas started a campaign to request a Toy Fair magazine Transformers toy exclusive, which you can find in the Transformers discussion forum. Second, Transfan Brainstorm has created and currently coordinates the Best Transformers Toy Tournament, a unique online experience that can be accessed through the AllSpark main header. Third, Lion Kaiser X, Jake, and Cat Goddess Bass created a very awesome AllSpark generational logo. We thank them for their devotion. Lion Kaiser X is also taking requests now for the creation of personalized signature images that resemble the Transformers logo. If you are interested in him drawing you one, please contact him at the Transformers discussion board. Fourth, starting last Thursday night, what seemed to be a record-breaking number of visits to the AllSpark, which reached its peak at approximately 3:06 a.m. in the morning of Friday, June 15, was reported by Transfan Dante the Decepticon as possibly breaking down Easy Board. How about that? The visits per minute indicator flared up at a constant rate to reach at its peak 115 visitors in the last 15 minutes. At that point, the Easy Board software appeared to have crashed, later to be reactivated. If in truth we reached that visitor number per minute, then we shattered all known Easy Board records of visits to any of the other board's communities. A milestone. Amazing. Well, in the weeks to follow, you will be introduced to the AllSpark bus for RFC team, which includes Cap, Windraiser, and Mount 04. Until next week, this is Prime C of the AllSpark saying, we are one.
Radio Free Cybertron superior. Other programs inferior.
And thank you, Prime Z. Very informative. The AllSpark has a ton of stuff going on every week. Altoys Transformers has nothing. Well, you know, there's arguing and bickering, and that's fun in itself, but really, you know, the AllSpark has a better sense of community, you know, and that's one thing I miss about Altoys Transformers, its sense of community. And that's about as far as I'll go with that. And now coming up on Radio Free Cybertron is me, Brian Kilby, with the review of Cybertronian Volume 1.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Cybertronian, the unofficial Transformers Recognition Guide, Volume 1, 96 pages, $24.95, published by Antarctic Press. Okay, first to the contents of the book, a foreword on the prehistory of the Transformers toy line by the talented Mr. Doug Glenn. There is a wonderful picture guide of the first 2 years of the G1 Transformers line, which includes the alt modes, tech specs, and unlike the Alvarez book, Jim Mint and complete Transformers toys. Also included is a checklist for the first 2 years, guide to the first 29 episodes of the TV series, the first 20 issues of the comic plus the G.I. Joe versus the Transformers 4-issue miniseries, and a list of websites and an afterword written by Harold Tetchens. And God help me, I hope I got that name right. Okay, as far as the breakdown goes, it is a softcover book, standard comic book size, with and it's 96 pages long with non-glossy stock pages. And according to Doug, that was an error in printing. Subsequent volumes and reprints will be glossy. Most of the toys, like the cars and the Dinobots, are given a page each, with clear and thoroughly nice pictures of the toys in all modes with accessories. The Minibots are given half a page each, as are the Constructicons and the cassettes. Higher-end toys, including Omega Supreme, Soundwave, Optimus Prime, Megatron, and Jetfire, are given two pages. Episodes are five to a page, as are the comics. Okay, the first thing you see is a cover illustration by Fred Perry. It's of Megatron. It's a soft, though thin-lined drawing that is very cartoonish in appearance, but, you know, is more human in proportion than the actual cartoon model. Upon opening the book, you'll probably be struck by the quality of the pictures. They're very nice and sharp, and give a good example of how the toy looks. My pal, ViceGripX of WildRun.com, remarked that any book that devotes a whole page to Bumblejumper is okay in his book. And to be totally honest, that fact alone cleared up a couple of misconceptions that I and my friend had on that toy. And with that said, the information in the book is top-notch and concise. There are no wasted words within. Doug did a wonderful job editing this book. The comic and episode summaries are there, and they're sufficient, but I doubt anyone is buying the book for episode summaries. This is first and foremost a guide to the toys, and it's an excellent one. Okay, after reading the book, I was struck by how much better the toys look in print than they actually do in your hand. You know, this was most evident with Omega Supreme and Mirage. I suppose it has something to do with the camera angles or something, I don't know. But just the toys are more dynamic looking in the book. And often, you know, the toys look much nicer when I want it than when I actually get it, because a lot of these toys I don't get to go to flea markets because my area has none, and other places with older toys, so I have to go by eBay much of the time, and just sometimes they look so much better on the screen than they do in your hand. And the toys do look very nice in the book, just beautiful, crisp pictures, and that has to be something, you know, that has to do with it somehow. Future volumes are said to have summaries of Transformers the movie, the complete run of the comics, and even the Japanese TV series, so you get to see how wonderfully goofy Master Force is. Now, for me, there are only two real problems worth noting with the book, and I feel that I have to mention them. First is a minor one. The text is a bit small in the episode and comic summaries. Granting another page or two to the summaries would have been really nice, and will hopefully be included in future volumes if Doug is listening. Hello, Doug! And the second problem is, of course, the price. Personally, I see the book being worth the cover price of $24.95. It's an excellent, excellent, comprehensive guide. It has a great layout and the top-notch editing. You, however, have to decide whether or not it's worth the price. As David Connell brought up on ATT, in a hobby where people spend hundreds of dollars on a single toy, spending $25 on a book shouldn't be too big of a proposition, especially when you consider that, you know, issue 80 of the comic goes for like $40 or $50 on eBay. You know, for your bang for your buck, you know, I'd rather have Cybertronian Volume 1. Yes, a lot of the information in the book can be found on the internet. But personally, having this quality of work and a few readily available volumes more than make up for the price. When all is said and done, the best part of the book is the nice little mention of Radio Free Cybertron in the website's index. Maybe not. The images, though, you know, that's the best part of the book, to be totally honest. You know, they're beautiful, they're clear, and this is definitely, definitely recommended to anyone who's trying to complete or start their G1 collection. And I can actually see, in some cases, this being a good replacement for some of the toys. It's kind of hard to overstate the quality of some of the pictures in here, and many times and places, I can easily see someone, you know, keeping this instead of actually having the toy that they're going to spend $300 on Take me, for example. I'm not going to spend $300 on a mint and sealed box Prowl or Blue Streak. I'd much rather have a very nice picture that I can look at and $300 in my pocket than a boxed G1 brick. I mean, he's a beautiful brick. I mean, Prowl is a nice-looking toy. But, well, brick may be going too far. But I'm not spending $300 on it. You know, the pictures are sufficient. The same thing with the later Action Masters. You know, I save pictures that I find on eBay. I don't spend $1,000 on them. Art Fire or Stepper, which I don't think they'll ever be included in volumes. Who knows? But, again, the same standard holds. And, finally, Cybertronian, the unofficial Transformers Recognition Guide, Volume 1, is definitely recommended. There's a link on top of, on the homepage, not on the top, but in the news section, to the Antarctic Press store. You can buy the book via PayPal. I ordered it in, like, 3 seconds. And I got my copy in 3 days, and it would have been 2, but one of those days was a Sunday, and here in America, the mail doesn't run on Sundays. If you're not signed up with PayPal, there's a link for that, too, below the link to the Antarctic Press store. PayPal gives you $5 for signing up, and, of course, they give me $5 for referring you. I'm honest. You know, some people have complained that the book is too high. I understand that, but like all things in the world, that's a matter of opinion. Whether or not it's too high for you is, of course, up to you to decide.
Time! One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly?
That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron.
Oh my goodness, I forgot to plug Tomcat X and Little Girl Productions. Tomcat X is, insane, but he's also gullible, because I had him going for about 2 months that I was a stuntman for Paramount, and, disregarding his insanity and his gullibility, he's a great guy, and I want you to go to his site. The, link is in the links section, and also, so is Little Girl Productions. Yeah. And that's Radio Free Cybertron this week. Come back next week when we have the old segments back, hopefully. Trivia. We might even have Bad Toilets Corner. I doubt it. And, you know, maybe if we can squeeze together a bad Japanese dub thing. But, who knows what the future holds. Not even I. Tune in next week. Same bot time. Same bot channel.
The sky above.